Who loves St. Louis? No, not who. What? Bud Select Beer. That's what. A beer that loves St. Louis so much, it's got the arch on it. A beer beloved by St. Louisans because it was, and always has been, brewed for the Lou.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Kids don't, some of us
are wondering why. Welcome back into the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It's the Ryan Kelly Radio-a-thon. We told you about it a little bit in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to be here. The show's from 590 will be here. From us to the press box to the midday grind here at Cardinal Glennon today for the Ryan Kelly Radio-a-thon. A reminder, you can call in, just call Ryan Kelly's number, and they have operators standing by to make a donation. And why are we here? Well, to tell you about all the good things that Cardinal Glennon does for family, and who better to tell us than Carol Lorenz, who joins us now with her son Thomas. I think Thomas was a little shy about making a radio debut, but I think he's warming up to the idea. He does have the coolest glasses I've ever seen. I tried to trade him. He said no thanks, but he told me where I can find him. So how are you guys doing this morning? Thanks so much for taking some time to join us.
We're doing so great today. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thomas, you ready to make your big radio debut? Can you say hi to all the listeners out there? He's thinking about it.
Maybe
he's
not yet.
He's thinking about it, Kat.
Oh, just say hi.
Well, he got a smile on the microphone.
Yeah, that's good. Now, Thomas, you look to me about 17 years old. Is that 17? How old are you? Four. Is that four? Five? Four. Okay, four. I'm not good at counting. I'm not good at counting.
Four and a half or just four?
Four.
Okay, four. Got it.
And how are you doing today? Good? Okay. Well, thank you for coming on with us.
You're welcome.
That's okay. That guy over there gets a little shy, too. That's right. Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hello, Thomas. Okay.
Sometimes Doug does whole segments without saying a word, and he gets right. He gets bashful. So this is something we're used to. Carol, tell us a little bit about your relationship with Cardinal Glennon and how they were able to help Thomas through a scary time.
So Thomas was diagnosed October 22nd of 2016. Mm-hmm. We actually came to the ER because he had a croup cough, and the emergency room nurse was super amazing, and she kind of looked at Thomas and didn't really believe that croup was the only thing going on. And so we did. Yeah. So then she decided to draw some blood, and that's when Thomas was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And we were taken up to 4 North, which is the hematology floor, which is currently being redone. It's beautiful right now. Anyway, and that's where we stayed for 30 days while he received his initial treatment. Unfortunately, after the 30 days, the cancer was not eradicated from his body, so he was diagnosed with high-risk leukemia. So that just kind of means his treatment protocol was a little bit more aggressive than what it normally would have been. Fortunately, Cardinal Glennon is part of COG, or the Children's Oncology Group, which is, I believe it's nationwide, if not global. But a lot of oncologists kind of, they all share their protocols and things that they found that have worked for other kids. So fortunately, Thomas is on a really great protocol, and I think he's going to do okay. He's doing great right now. We're in maintenance treatment, so it's a little bit easier, outpatient mostly. And we're just so happy that we have such a hospital for our child to be treated in. There's really nothing like being in a pediatric hospital. Everyone here knows how to deal with kids. They try to make it fun, and all these different groups come in and do fun activities with us, and our social worker makes sure that we get in touch with all of those groups. Sorry. And it's just a truly wonderful, wonderful place to be. If you have to have cancer, this is definitely the place that you want to be.
And Thomas looks like he's happy, and I know he's a brave young man, and it looks like being here is okay, which is, I guess, a huge part of the battle.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he gets excited to see his nurses, and he gets excited to see his doctors. And we actually call him Super Thomas because he likes to say that chemo gives him superpowers to get rid of all those leukemia germs. So.
And croup is such a common thing, and I would imagine you have to be in a pretty good facility for them to say there's something beyond that, right? I mean, catching it early is important.
I actually ended up writing a thank you note to that emergency room nurse because I just couldn't believe that she caught that. And if we had just gone into maybe an urgent care or something, you know, they might have just said croup is so common. Of course, he looks pale. He's, you know, he's sick. He's a little kid. But because we went to a pediatric hospital, she knew this is not right. Something looks wrong. And we were able to treat it right then. I mean, I truly can't express how grateful I was for that.
Yeah. He looks like he's doing fantastic right now. Is he leading a normal life? He's up and doing what other four-year-olds are doing?
Yeah, I mean, somewhat normal. He still gets chemo every day. We come to the hospital every other week to receive IV chemo, and he still gets spinal taps. You know, so we're still doing a lot of things. But this phase of his treatment really helps him to do more normal, real-world activities. We're actually going to be going to preschool after this interview. So I know I'm almost in tears when I think about it. After you hear your kid has cancer, you never imagine you'll get to do, like, normal things again. So seeing him go to preschool and having fun with his friends, I can't even express how much that means to me.
I would guess Cardinal Glennon plays a big part if he has to be here for ongoing treatment. It doesn't look like a hospital. It doesn't smell like a hospital. This seems like it's a place where kids are going to be okay coming to get their maintenance.
Oh, my gosh, definitely. I mean, like the one time we came in and Thomas was playing hide and seek with his nurse and hid underneath the bed, and she like accessed his port under the bed. It's just awesome the things that they do for these kids to help make it kind of normal and kind of okay. So
we're sitting here in the Costa Center, and there's a looks like a playground. There's a school bus and a submarine and a train and just kind of some of the things that they do to go out of their way to make kids feel. Not even, I would say, at home, but it's almost more fun than at home. It's kind of a playground type feel. So certainly have the kids in mind and do great work. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and speak with us this morning. And we hope that people who are listening kind of get a better sense of what goes on here and maybe are more inclined to send some of their hard-earned money to a place that's doing great work.
314-781-9700. Let's get those donations in. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is a great hospital, so please donate.
Absolutely. And Thomas, when you go to preschool today, when you go to school, tell them that you were on the radio and therefore that you're the biggest celebrity in class, okay?
Done.
Not going to do it.
He's a humble guy, Doug. He's a humble guy. Carol,
you can tell him you're on Camel, actually.
Yeah. Don't tell him what show. Yeah.
You were on Channel 4 with Doug Vaughn. They'll all know. All the kids watch it. Carol, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, that's better than any copy that we can read to tell you what kind of stories are happening here, and certainly that's just one of them. I mean, they're all over the place.
And you can imagine the staggering expense that's involved too, not just the heartache and the disruption of your life, but the expense that's involved with all that treatment. And unless you've got fantastic insurance, it would just drain you. Just absolutely drain you completely.
Agreed. And if you do have to continually bring your kid to a facility where he had a bad experience or doesn't find it in the least appealing, that will destroy your psyche if you're a parent. So I think the way they handle things at Cardinal Glennon makes it a wonderful experience for the kids. I can't imagine the comfort that would give a parent.
Yeah, to know you're in one of the best places in the country, if not the world, that you've done everything you can possibly do. When you come here, you know that you're in great hands.
I think Thomas's day is made. I know that meeting Doug was something that it was really a big moment for him. I talked to him a little bit before he came on.
No, to be honest with you, I heard him actually.
It was kind of like when you met Willie Mays. It was a similar moment.
He walked away saying, "I was hoping to meet Savard."
Was that what it was?
Yeah. Well, somebody on Doug's big channel. Yeah. It looked like me.
Well, I did. There was a couple texts rolling in, Kat, that said they thought maybe you were overdoing your hype for meeting Willie Mays because he played in New York, and maybe blaming your values how you were excited about that. Is you care to comment about that? That's it. Looks like a confirmation, a no comment, not even a denial, really. I don't think you just choosing to ignore the question, Doug.
Well, he played in New York at the beginning of his career, and at the very end, as a New York Met, he was not quite the same guy he was, but many good years in San Francisco. In fact, that's where I actually Got to meet him in San Francisco. So it had little to do with New York.
Okay, I'm just thanks for clarifying.
Is that,
that
the biggest sports star you've met? I met Musial several times. I was at his
house. I did too.
I met Hank Aaron. Bob Feller.
Rapid Robert.
Yeah.
Well, you danced with Walter Payton.
Lead. I'm just thinking the greatest baseball stars.
What do you mean you danced with him?
Oh, that's a whole long story.
Has this been told on the...
Yes.
Many times, but
okay,
it's good if you want to...
If you don't want to go back, if it's an old story...
I think it's a rating spike every time Doug tells it.
Go ahead, Doug. I haven't heard it.
The Cliff Notes version is...
Keep it short.
Walter was involved with the group trying to get an expansion football team to St. Louis.
Sure.
So one night, Doug's big channel went over to where Walter was giving a speech at the Collinsville Holiday Inn over there in...
I've been there, yeah.
Across the river. So... We showed up at the hotel lobby, and he's waiting. He hadn't gone in yet. He's waiting to go in and talk to at this big convention hall or whatever they have. And we walk up and said, Walter, can we talk to you
real quick? And we said, you mean you.
Me and a photographer.
Okay, yeah.
Said, can we talk to you real quick before you give your speech? And there was some music being played in the lobby. And with that, he takes the mic out of my hand and sets it down and grabs me, and we start dancing in the lobby of the hotel to this music.
It's on TV?
This was, no, I just went there to interview him.
Ben, try to follow along.
The camera wasn't rolling or anything. I just walked up and said, hey, have you got 2 minutes that we could talk to you before
sure.
you go and give this speech? And so he set the mic down and grabbed me, and we were dancing in the lobby of the hotel.
Now, where is his hand on your back? Is it
right
in the
middle
small,
of the back? Yeah,
in the small didn't of your back?
Go, yeah, he didn't drop
did he,
down
did
too
he,
low.
Okay.
No.
Now, is he leading here?
He's absolutely leading.
Okay. And your hand, your other hand is on
NFL,
his shoulder or on his waist?
You see, I'm trying to recoil.
Oh, okay.
He's the all-time leading rusher at this point.
Right.
So I'm thinking
he's making a rush
thinking,
on
hey,
you.
This is kind of funny. But it went on an uncomfortably long
Ooh.
Period of time.
Now, what are you talking during this moment? Or is he just looking
just
into your kinda, eyes? Where are his eyes?
My eyes were looking around. Is there someone that could cut in? Someone can help me here. You know, I didn't want to be rude. I was asking him for time, and I find myself dancing. I mean, if we danced
yourself
around the lobby of the place.
What was the song? Do you remember?
I don't.
Something with a little brisk, or was it more of a waltz?
I don't know, but he liked it, whatever it was.
Did you find yourself conflicted by this rush of emotion?
Right.
My only emotion was, this is the most awkward thing I've ever been involved in my life. You know, I didn't want to push him away.
No, it's Walter
Payton. What do you do in that situation?
How much space between... Maybe the front of his pants and the front of your pants.
Don't go there.
He's a journo.
Paint the picture.
I kept as much distance as I could keep.
Probably by the hand.
It was very uncomfortable.
Horizontally, probably hand width.
It's very uncomfortable when you find yourself pushing away the NFL's all-time leading rusher.
Now, what was he saying during this time?
Like,
was
it
a joke?
Saying anything.
Was he upset that you asked him to interview before his speech? Was he hazing you?
No, he was just kind of like that.
And did he give you an interview after it?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
So it was worth it.
Well, it was uncomfortable. Like I said, for the first few seconds, this is kind of funny, but it went on way too long.
That's pretty good.
Could
you smell his breath?
No.
Oh, not close. If he would have flicked his tongue out.
Stop!
You mentioned, I think it was you that mentioned, through this rush of emotion, you felt conflicted. Maybe you could expand on that.
I didn't feel conflicted.
You said it.
Only conflicted in that I wanted to get out of the situation, but I still needed the interview.
Well, what did you mean by rush of emotion?
There was no rush of emotion.
You said it.
I didn't.
I think you said a fluttering heart.
I didn't.
This was more. Was this a bigger moment for you than the time you took Seaver deep?
No, that was a better moment.
That was?
Yeah.
Hands down.
This was a moment I wanted to kind of end.
I think you mentioned, you know, you met Stan a bunch of times. Was Stan Musial the legitimate star athlete that you met
can I chime in with one more follow-up on the Walter
yes,
Payton
please.
Story?
I don't want to change the subject.
Did you end up doing the
fertile
interview?
Ground.
Yes.
I already asked him that.
Oh. Yes.
Pay attention.
Sorry, I have a short attention span.
Golly.
We got our interview.
How was it?
I don't even remember. I'm sure it was fine. But then he went over and I'm not even going to say what he
did next. Go ahead.
He went over and he put his hands on the photographer.
What do you mean he put his hands on the photographer?
I mean, he might have played with his belt buckle a little bit.
Did you feel like...
The whole thing was just
completely
bizarre.
Did you feel like a jilted lover at that moment?
Were you jealous?
He was leaving me
at that point. A pang of jealousy.
Yeah, oh gosh, yes.
Now, wait a minute,
I wasn't.
Here's a texter. I'm not sure if I understand this, Kat. It says, Doug, answer the question, did it move? What does he mean by that?
I don't know.
Maybe fluttering heart.
Maybe
fluttering.
Did it move you? Like, did it move Doug in an emotional emotional setting?
No, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what, going to Gateway Buick GMC, that's the move.
Mm.
Gateway Buick GMC's service department is now proud to announce they are one of the only dealers in the area qualified to say they are a certified elite service department. What that means for you is comfort, ease, and the quality care your vehicle deserves. With over 37 service bays, they get you in, out, and on the road. Gateway Buick GMC offers a shuttle service and online appointments. Gateway will literally meet or beat any tire price in town. Ask them about their summer care offers, for example, a bonus coupon of up to $40 in savings. Shop or book your service online at www.stlouisbuickgmc.com or call 888-865-9419. 888-865-9419. Gateway, the right way. That's your cue now, Ben.
Okay.
Or
I'm
Doug.
Just still trying to think of not only the dance, but then the aftermath of the grabbing of the photographer's belt. It really shook me. I'm having a hard time staying
shook
on
you, yeah, and you
on
weren't
script.
There.
Ask
Imagine
about the time
horror.
He spent a night at a La Quinta with Brooks Robinson.
I didn't.
Whoa.
No.
Whoa.
Well, he went there for the free breakfast, and it spiraled downhill from
Anyone
there.
Anyone need a ride to the bull pack? That's all that was about.
I was trying to think, was Dan the Man the famous athlete that, you know, people in the business here probably met him a lot of times. He was very approachable. He went out of his way to meet fans,
yep.
And he was a public icon. But I would imagine that meeting him, and I never had the opportunity to meet him in person, but meeting him in person, even if you did it 10 times, it never got old. You never got used to the fact that there's Stan Musial. Because, I mean, some of these guys.
If it did, it was only because he was so darn down to earth. You didn't feel like there was a guy who wanted to make sure that he was a star and you weren't.
Totally approachable. And everyone in St. Louis seems had met him at some point. You know, he touched a lot of lives because he was such a regular guy.
I went to his house, not at the same night that I went to the Walter Payton thing.
Jeez Louise.
He used to have a house.
You get around, son.
He had a house there in Ladue off Litzinger years ago. And we went there to do an interview with him, and he had to be mid to late 70s at the time, I would think. Maybe mid-70s. And we drove up to his house, and there's a guy on the lawnmower cutting the grass, and we park and get out and get the tripod and the camera out, and the lawnmower guy comes over to him. It's Stan cutting his own lawn in a riding tractor. Huge, Sean, lawn there in Ladue. He was out there cutting it. I said, all right, I'll be ready in just a minute.
That's awesome.
He'll take a shower. Yeah, get cleaned up, get the grass off his pants.
My kid loves baseball history. So
sure.
Willie Mays actually said, like, he gave us autographed baseballs. Like, he's like, get some balls. So I got to give this to my kid, and he's got a Stan ball now with Willie Mays. He's got an Aussie ball. But I said, you know, Willie Mays, I mean, maybe the greatest player that ever lived. And he said, on my all-time list, he's behind Stan. That's what my son told me. He put Stan as the best player in the history of baseball. May well be, but you cannot talk my son off of that Stan
said,
is the best.
He said, I'm putting the Stan ball on the shelf. We'll go play catch with the Willie Mays ball. That's
he's like,
he
Stan,
said.
Bob Gibson. Because he breeds all that. He'll say to me,
yeah.
You have any complete games, Bob Gibson? They don't do that anymore. Kids
well,
hate.
Tell them they were tougher back then, and that's the truth.
Back in my day, we were lucky to pitch at all. We had dinosaurs chasing us around.
Oh, we would have loved to have had dinosaurs. We were older than that.
Back in your day, pitching it was a game. It was fun. It wasn't work. You would have paid to pitch.
Mm-hmm. Now get out there.
You're too busy working for your family during the Depression.
I remember a doubleheader where I pitched 46 innings and I liked it.
And I managed. I didn't take myself out. No one took me out because I was the manager. There you go.
I had to go number one for the entire doubleheader, and there was no place. And you know what? I made do.
We didn't have plumbing. Love to have had some plumbing. We had a trough.
I wish I had time to go to the restroom. I couldn't because I was playing second base while pitching.
We didn't have a base. Boy, you must have really been living high on the hog. We had a rock we'd put out there with some jagged edges to it.
Sure.
Slide in there, rip you up from ankle to hip. But we liked it.
You know what else about this place, Cardinal Glennon? You go to some hospitals, and I'm not taking shots. Every hospital provides very important care. But this place is bright. Think about it. You know, this place is not depressing. You know, you're dealing with kids. I'm sure that's part of the battle is to make the kids not hate to go get their treatment. It's tough enough anyway. So we are encouraging people to make a donation. Ryan Kelly is spearheading this. 314-781-9700. It's Ryan's Radiothon. That's why we're here today. That's why we're doing very, very bad radio remotely today to try to help out Ryan and a great cause.
Stephen Wildwood says, back in my day, that old-time bit was funny. Well, that's a guy who would never fall victim to a bit.
He's too young.
He would never overuse.
It's a funny
Stephen
text.
Wildwood
good for you,
would never overuse anything. Well,
he
he's
doesn't
original.
Know what it was like. Yeah, back in the old day. Boy, he couldn't appreciate that. He's a young fella. He's 40-something.
Butch Patrick's a werewolf doll, I think. Mm-hmm. Not too happy with Doug for some
What's
reason.
The challenge? He's challenging you to a fight, Doug. What did you do fighting. To get sideways with Butch Patrick?
Oh, I don't have any idea.
Maybe he's a little jealous of all the close encounters that you've had with the stars of the sports world.
Well, it could be. I don't know. It's kind of fun looking back to think that I danced with Walter Payton. At the time, I was very awkward, very uncomfortable.
Now, were you wearing a suit at the time?
Dress.
You were wearing a dress.
I can see why I might have
gotten
the wrong
idea. What's
the
text line number? And Iggy, please clip that off.
It was a confusing period of my life. I was between.
Describe
you know what
the
I mean.
Dress you were wearing.
Between what?
I was between
jobs.
I could have been transforming at the time.
Mm.
I was thinking a nice chiffon style dress. Is that what
yeah,
we? What?
There could have been a chiffon in there. Yeah.
Sequins, perhaps.
No yeah, wonder he wanted to dance.
Now was the cut so you could see a lot of the leg, or just a little tease of the
kind
leg?
Of a lot of leg. You know?
You were just there waiting for some professional athlete to come by and whisk you away.
Well,
they called him old Doug Cleat Chaser Vaughn back in his day. Now you know why.
Now they call me DraftKings Vaughn. You know, the football season is here now, and there's really no better way to get closer to the game you love than with DraftKings 1 Week Fantasy Football. We're all going to play, right? We're all going to play DraftKings? Why wouldn't you?
I'm already playing.
You should.
Catch up.
DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 contest this Sunday, and it's totally free to enter. They're giving away $100,000. It's free to enter, and here's the better news. If you draft the perfect lineup, you win $1 billion. The absolute perfect lineup, you'd be a billionaire. How sweet would that be?
Got a big donation.
Yes, many ways to play at DraftKings. You can choose between public contests with big cash prizes or private contests where you can compete against a group with your friends. DraftKings also has a beginner and casual contest where you'll play against people of similar skill level. The best part is you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. So get to DraftKings.com now. I'd go ahead and do it now and use a particular promo code. And that promo code is, I'll read it now, quarterback.
Running back.
Quarterback is the promo code to play DraftKings free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. And if you draft the perfect lineup, you win $1 billion. That's promo code quarterback.
Slot back.
Quarterback to play for your shot to win $1 billion this Sunday. Contest totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try? You really ought to do it. You got nothing to lose. DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Can I give you boys a tease?
Please.
Plowboy will be reading the emails today. Of course, his laugh is brought to you by the Post Sports Bar and Grill. And in about a half an hour when he goes to go smoke, that is brought to you by Salt and Smoke.
Now, Plowsy is we're not hearing much from him today because he's getting used to the new boards and such because there's big news, Sea Monster.
Yeah, he doesn't talk. I was getting
some of the live mentions in, and then I was just going to kind of go cuddle back over
here.
Yeah,
he's not there to break the news. Doug, you're
the
big voice on the big radio. Give us the big news.
What's the big news?
Well, we're going to move into our new studio in Kirkwood starting tomorrow.
Well, we're actually already there. Plowboy is in Kirkwood, not St. Charles.
It's confusing to the list.
Because
we're at Cardinal Glennon today.
We are at Cardinal Glennon, correct.
Yeah, but we will be at our new studio for the duration starting tomorrow.
Yes.
We're on remote today.
This presentation will debut in Kirkwood tomorrow. Now, you won't be able to, the main studio isn't ready yet, so you won't be able to see us from the parking lot or anything.
A lot
anything.
Of people were asking
we'll be,
if
we'll
they could
be
line
safely
up in
tucked,
front of the glass to see
Yeah, we'll
Doug.
Be safely tucked in the middle of the building in the auxiliary studio for the time being, but we
Don't
will be
tucked.
In we will be in Kirkwood proper. Which will be a much shorter commute for you, Doug.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Kirkwood big for you, Doug.
Yeah, Kirkwood's big for
you. Now, will
me.
You just roll in your bathrobe then? You'll be right down the street. Will you walk to the studio?
No, I don't live close enough to walk
Will
there.
You roll in your bathrobe?
I might do that. They got a gym right next to it.
Oh, you're going
to
work out?
So I'm going to try to do that after the shows.
Yeah,
Frenzy,
did you know Doug has a robe, I believe, from the Bunny Ranch?
Oh, that's right. A wonderful terry cloth robe with gold piping on it.
Well, how'd you get that?
He sent it to us. He sent it
who
to
is
all
he?
Of us. Dennis Hoff, who runs
the
Bunny
Ranch. Yeah, he used to be on the show quite a bit. Seems like a decent guy, but Doug and I always felt a little dirty.
Yeah, maybe. But, boy, he sent us some nice robes.
Yeah,
I'll tell
I
you.
I bet it's plush.
You know what else Doug wears? He wears the old-style jammies, like designed like a suit of clothes with the breast pocket and collar and everything.
You tucked your cigar in there, your pipe. Now, was he on before or after Lamar Odom almost died there? That was that place, right?
I think before.
Okay.
And during. I remember during.
He was there. Lamar Odom did a live hit on the show from the Bunny Ranch?
No, but Hoff talked about it, so he must have been on even after.
How did Lamar Odom almost die at the Bunny Ranch?
Well,
I'm almost afraid to ask.
A lot of things were going on with him at the time.
Things were going on. All right.
Yeah. He had some issues. I hope he's doing better now.
I did too. But I don't know. He's been kind of out of the news here.
Well, if he's listening, Lamar, if you're back on track and you would like to dance with Doug, feel free to stop by the Kirkwood location.
Absolutely. Or stop by Cardinal Glenn. We're here today for the Ryan Kelly Radio-a-thon. Just a reminder, we're going to tell you some cool stories about Cardinal Glenn. We've got another one coming up right now. But if Ryan Kelly's making it very easy for you to make a donation, don't say, I want to donate, and then go about your day and forget. Just call Ryan Kelly's office, 314-781-9700. They have operators on standby. They can take your information. Go ahead and put it in the system, and they'll send you a confirmation email. It takes a matter of minutes that will show up, and you can have it for tax purposes. Don't wait. Just go ahead and do it now because Ryan's got a big goal in mind, and he's got a big donation that we're going to talk with him about later. But right now we're going to catch up with Huey Blake. Now, Huey has a great story. He's a cancer survivor and a Costa Center volunteer with more than 10,000 hours of service. That's incredible. I'm not good at math, but that's like days and days and days of service. Kat Huey, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. First of all, just tell us a little bit, if you can, about your story and how you became a part of the Cardinal Glennon family.
Sure. When I was diagnosed in 1978, I was 4 years old. I got elementary admission at Cardinal Glennon. Full brain surgeries, 2 years of radiation, chemotherapy. And I got on in here in Cardinal Glennon. And during my 2 years here, people came to my room. They played games with me and everything and bought me gifts. So I decided that once I got better, I want to return that favor. So I started volunteering. They brought me in. I started me on Tuesday. I've been going Tuesday through Friday. It's been 10 years now.
My goodness.
Now, when you were going through your treatment, I'm sure it was very difficult. The fact that the staff here treated you well and it was a fun place outside the difficult situation. What did that mean to you to help you get through that?
Well, doing all the treatments and everything, I was sick all the time, especially from the chemotherapy. But since people started coming in and helped really, really good, because I was here for 2 years straight. They didn't let me go home at all. They let me go home once or twice, but I would get sick. So they said, just stay here. If you get sick, we'll take care of you.
So you were able to get your health back and then decided you wanted to pay back some of the things that the people gave to you while you were here. So you were here for 2 years, which is a stunning amount of time, but you said you've been volunteering here more than 3 days a week for 10 years. So I think a lot of people would say, well, he's given back more than he received. What keeps you coming back as a volunteer all these years?
Well, a lot of these kids remind me of me. And I see them go through all this chemo and radiation and different tests. And that makes me want to help them out. And cheer up their day.
What kind of things do you do when you volunteer? What kind of jobs have you doing?
I do puppy shows, magic tricks. I help them with the homework. I'm doing wagon rides.
Well, you're an entertainer then.
Oh, yeah.
This is not like volunteer, like, hey, deliver this meal. That's this awesome. Is like volunteer, like, hey, man, you're putting on a show.
Oh, yeah.
What's the best magic trick? What's the, now, you don't have to tell us how you do it, but what's the best one? What gets the best reviews?
I do a coin trick. It's called 21.
Uh-huh.
You use 21 coins. You take 7 coins off the top, and you have them pick a card out of those 7 coins. And you spread them all around, and you count to 21 backwards and forwards. At the end, flip the card over, and it'll be that card.
All right. We'll have to check that out. Check that out, that out later. But we get a sense that, you know, that's part of why this place is so special. It does amazing work for kids and on the medical side, but it also goes out of its way to feel like a place that's not scary or intimidating or sad to come to. We look around at the Costa Center here. There's, you know, there's all kinds of play facilities set up. You have a bus, a submarine, a train. There's, Kat mentioned, there's light. You know, it's not a dark place. It doesn't smell like you think a hospital would smell like. Why is that important? Why are the magic tricks so important? Why is the are the puppet shows so important to help these kids' spirits up as they battle these terrible diseases?
Well, as you know, like I said, I've been through it all. I know how frustrating things are, how painful it is. So being there for the kids, it helps them a lot.
What do you when your card trick or puppet show makes a kid smile, kid who's having a tough time, what does that mean to you when
that makes me happy.
As long as you know, as long as they don't ask you how you do it, right? That's like the magician never gives away the secret to his tricks, right?
Right. Actually, they do. They ask me, how you do that? I can't tell you.
No, no. That's awesome. No. So is that like your, is this what you do full time now?
Yeah.
This is it, giving back to the hospital.
4 days a week, 6 to 8 hours a day. I'm right here.
Wow, that's cool.
Very cool. Well, we appreciate you taking some time to stop by and say hello to us. It's great meeting you. If you stick around, we might have to see that. We might have to see one of those magic tricks from you. That would be pretty cool. Huey Blake, you have over 10,000 hours of service. They should build a statue of you around here. But thank you so much for taking time to tell us your story.
Hey, no problem.
Thank you, Huey.
Thank you, Huey.
It was nice,
awesome
nice meeting you. Absolutely. I mean, that's just, I mean, we could do this all day. You could do a show for, 10 hours, you know, about the cool stories that come out of here. And it's better than, like I said, any live read or ad that we can read to just sit down and talk with some of these folks about what this place means to them and how it's helped them and all the reasons you should consider if you have the ability to contribute some of your hard-earned money to a worthy cause. Really check out Cardinal Glennon and some of the work they're doing here.
314-781-9700. You call Ryan Kelly's office. He is the home loan expert. He's our primary sponsor. We know over the years, he's been there for so many groups, helping out, you know, the community as these organizations, agencies are trying to raise money. He's doing it again today. It's his radiothon, raising money for the fine people at Cardinal Glennon, 314-781-9700.
What magic trick is big for you, Doug? You got one to go to when the
really
kids, when the boys were young?
No.
You didn't have one?
No, I don't really have one.
You better ask Huey for some tips here. Every dad should have one.
Well, I don't really have one.
Kat's
I'm sorry.
Got one. You
he
got
does.
One.
You do great impressions.
Cat? I don't do
like
great
when you impersonate a sportscaster. Oh, hey.
We're going to get out the suspension log. Old Jim Hayes has been suspended for that comment right
Not
there.
Not my first time.
Suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name, as we speak, is going into the Hot Shots Leather-Bound Suspension Log Eel. I'm writing it down with the Wright Business Products Ink pen. They will brand your business supplies. Thank you, Wrightsy.
I got one of those pens. I don't know how I ended up with it, but I have one.
Wow, well, I can't imagine how you'd end up with it.
Can I get one of those?
You want it?
Yeah.
No, he just a kid. Well, I need it to write for the rest of
the show. I just take him out of the studio every time I'm in there.
Well, you can help yourself. Yeah, if you need one, go ahead and
No, I just take them home, too, yeah.
You steal them, do you?
Well, they're just sitting in there. Why don't you protect them?
Well, they're stealing
there.
I'm not looking to protect them. I'm looking to share them.
Oh, that's
one of us has a big heart.
Kat, what's your go-to magic trick?
When I do this thing with my thumb.
Yeah, see? That's the
where
one.
It looks like you're
that's
ripping
right.
your thumb
gone.
Apart.
It's gone.
I mean, that'll keep your kid entertained from, like, age, I don't know, 6 months to five.
Yeah.
That's the go-to. Every dad knows that.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
step
if you do
up,
it right,
Doug.
You
step
can probably
up.
Even the teen years, you can even stretch that out through the teen years.
And then it gets to the point where it's like you still do it and they're, like, embarrassed by it, but they still like it. See, man, Kat gets it.
You see the one where you pull their nose off and
see,
then you hold your thumb between the fingers.
Works.
Look, that's my nose. Yeah, okay. I choose not to trick my children.
What kind of fun things do you do with them besides have a catch? Do you still have a catch with your kids?
Occasionally, yeah.
You do? You go out back, throw it around?
Yeah.
Your idea or theirs?
Either.
But you could say to your son, hey, John, let's go have a catch.
I never say have a catch.
Well, you should.
I say, do you want to play catch?
You said have a toss.
I don't say have anything. No, I say you want to play catch. We'll throw the football around and throw the baseball
You strike
around.
Me as a guy who would be demeaning. Hey, rag arm, want to go outside and throw it around?
I might say that to
yeah.
them.
Give him, give him one good poke right in the sternum. And then when he gets stronger, then you say, Dad, let's go have a catch. He says, oh, my shoulder's really been bothering me, son. I've worked really hard
this
week.
Yeah, that did keep me from throwing for about a year there. It really did.
Some listeners have, it seems like Doug's being shy, maybe modest about his magic tricks, because the listeners really have a long list of magic tricks.
Apparently you've showed a couple of tricks to a couple of texters.
Why, no.
Yeah, I'm not reading that
don't,
one.
We're
no,
in hospital.
I'm not
don't
reading
do it. Don't
disappearing
fall into
tricks
the
seem
don't
to be your specialty, according to the
Making
text line, Doug.
Disappear.
Subby applause says you can make a lot of things.
Do not about, fall into
what?
The trap.
Now, how about these Redbirds? We're talking about Doug's shoulder issues. All of a sudden, the Cardinals have a couple of players with shoulder issues, key players, and it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Boy, it sure will be.
No, so Matt Carpenter has a right shoulder issue that he doesn't sound he doesn't sound too optimistic.
And he
about.
Said it's been going on, which
then you have.
I don't think folks knew. Certainly not a Matt Carpenter-like year, but I guess playing third base exacerbated it or at least brought it to the forefront. And then Tommy Pham, who looked like he hurt his nose sliding into second where his helmet came off and kicked back and hit him in the nose, he also messed up his shoulder. He got some stim, and he said, hopefully I'll be back in there tomorrow, but can't be playing any better than Tommy Pham.
I didn't see the play head first. Yeah, stop sliding head first.
Why do they do
stop
that?
Stop doing that.
Okay, well, here's
Lou
the thing.
Lou Brock didn't do it.
Back in my day, would you
Maury
stop
Wills
with
didn't
that?
Didn't do it. Tommy, Honus Wagner, Ty Cobb,
Mike,
no.
Mike Matheny said
up.
After the game, and I know you two legit journalists probably weren't watching.
Oh, I was watching. But, I was holding you accountable for Mike, not speaking in a louder voice when you were asking questions about Tommy Pham's injury.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I was
oh,
in
you
studio.
Need to be screaming.
Yeah, I was in
Why
studio.
Why weren't you there?
I was in
Why
studio.
Why weren't you there? You weren't holding
but
them accountable.
But now I'm trying to pass along to the listeners who may not have heard it, or maybe the sound wasn't stolen by every radio station.
Whoa.
But Mike Matheny said he'd prefer Tommy not slide head first. Tommy immediately said, no, I'm going to keep sliding head first. Now, there is old school versus new school, and Al Hrabowski said this on the post game. Back in the day, back in my day, they didn't let you slide head first because they gave you the business. They'd drop a knee on your head or whatever they would do. It's a different game today, and we see it time after time, at least in today's game, when a player slides head first, second or third, how they can see the play developing and where there's a – and they'll reach with the right hand or left. They have more options on how to get to the base safely when they slide head first. Now, is there a bigger – risk of injury? Absolutely. But I think players weigh it themselves. Tommy Pham said, by the way, I'm going to keep sliding in head first.
I mean, it's up to him. To me, I just wish that somebody who is well-versed in physics would come in there and tell them that it's not a faster way to reach the base.
No, this, to me, it's not just a question of reaching the base quicker.
Okay.
And there's a difference. Sliding into first.
Stupid.
Like Skip Always. Schumacher would do. You can say that's a speed thing. He said it. He felt faster. Whatever. But there's a difference between sliding into second and trying to avoid a tag and third base, where if you slide head first, you can see where the tag's coming. And we see it a lot where players will move one way or just somehow elude it because they can see it as opposed to going in.
I'll buy the argument that you're more likely to be able to reach around and you have more flexibility. What I won't buy is that it's worth the risk.
Yeah, okay. That's a different argument, but let's understand why guys like Tommy Pham do it that way.
All you have to do is sprain one finger, and you can't play anymore.
Can't swing.
And people think, well, he's a wuss. He's not playing. You can't throw a ball 95 miles an hour or hold on to the bat to hit a ball coming in that fast if you hurt a finger or a wrist or your hand or your elbow. You can't do it.
No,
and when you slide feet first, you can pop up, and you're ready to go should the ball get away. As a fielder, I think you prefer the people sliding in hand first, too, because you know you're not going to get a face full. You're not going to get run over by the guy sliding.
Yeah, but players choose to do it their own way. Obviously, Tommy feels he has a bigger advantage doing it that way. So unless you want to fly out to San Diego and hold him accountable, you're going to have to put up with him going head first.
He's not the only one who slides head first. A lot of them do. They do it all the time.
Yeah, but he's the one that said, tell Doug to zip it. I'm sliding head first. I think those were his exact
while he
words.
Sits out injured.
He's not the only one.
Well, we don't know. If he's going to sit out injured.
He's not
we'll
the only one who's
banged
up.
We'll find out more today.
Colton Wong's a little banged up. Dexter Fowler a little banged up as well, which is just going to mean more and more opportunities for some of these young guys to come up and make an impact. Jose Martinez is playing great, playing pretty well at first base. You were talking about earlier.
He was sort of an adventure when he first went over there. I think now we're seeing him make picks that, who knows, maybe the other first baseman might not make. I mean, difficult place. The thing that struck me about this Cardinal road trip, so the Lance Lynn start, he goes 8, scoreless, monster start, and then he came out, and at the time we didn't know there was anything going on. I asked Mike Matheny about it, and he basically said, well, he'd never mentioned that Lance had this blister. So we go to Lance, and Lance said, I had a blister. To be honest, it came around like in the 6. It was bleeding. I was lucky to get through 8. So I tweeted out, Lance Lynn said you're using your source. Lance Lynn says blister. That's why he didn't pitch the 9th. And it was like, oh, he's just covering up for Mike Matheny. You're part of the conspiracy.
Well, if there's anyone in that clubhouse who is, you know, going to toe the company line, not say what he really thinks, it's Lance. You know, Lance is known for his toeing the company line and never saying anything that could get somebody.
Are you kidding me? Like that's when people were saying, like, really? The other one, and then someone said I was only kidding. But when a pitcher has a blister, and Lance Lynn, I mean, he took a line drive to the head. And played through it. He's a tough guy.
My day, we tried to knock down line drives with our hit. That was the best way to stop him.
Well, when you see people questioning a starter, though, with a blister, like he's not tough, people need to understand, Doug, you're old school. Back when you guys played, you didn't have bats
His
of balls.
Blisters had blisters.
You played around with pterodactyls. We
didn't
get
have
it.
Fingers. We had to throw curveballs without fingers. We were so poor. We would just put it in the palm of our hand and kind of move our arm in a weird way.
We didn't have any. Had damaged his hand to the point that he had no fingers.
We didn't have horse hide. We didn't have horses. We had baby pterodactyls. We played with pterodactyl legs. That's
the horses
how we
weren't over from Spain yet. Horses are not native to this continent.
Back before the horses came, you actually had to do the farm work yourself.
You had farms.
You appreciated what you ate back then. You didn't have a horse to pull your till.
We didn't have food back in my day. We didn't have food.
No.
We ate rocks and dirt, and we liked it.
And if we could find a tree, we'd eat the bark. Sure we would.
Use every inch of that tree. Make a boat. Catch a fish with your hands. You need to use the boat to swim, to ride in. You put your fish in it. You stored your fish in the boat. You had to swim yourself.
Fish? We didn't have fish back then. We had single-cell organisms. If we could find a couple
of amoebas left
and right. If we had an amoeba, we were happy with it. We liked it that way.
Oh, my. Well, I guess we should probably mention Carlos Martinez because he might have pitched the best game of his career.
One more thought on Lance Lynn. What made it seem odd to a lot of people is that he breezed through the 8th inning. He struck out everybody he faced. So I'm sure if the blister was so
bad. Struck out 4 of the last 5 batters he faced.
If the blister was so bad, I'm sure a lot of people were saying, well, can you tough it out just a little more since our bullpen is kind of sketchy and you just struck out all 3 guys in the 8th? He must have really been hurting.
Seems like you don't believe he was.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure he
was. Seems like you should hold him accountable when he comes back.
I think he would probably have gone out there. I just wonder if they took him out.
Look, you've talked to him before.
Sure.
He said, no, I was fine. That was their decision. He doesn't pull that back. He doesn't necessarily rip, but he'll say, no, I wanted to pitch, or I could have pitched. He said in this case, I was lucky to get through 8. Now, I'm just telling you what he said, but he's not a guy over the years who, as Ben Fred lays out, is exactly towing company line.
I would guess that if they would have said, hey, Lance, we need you to go out there, he would have said, okay. You've talked to him. So
yeah, well, what he said was
words in his mouth, but it's one of those things. It's not always a guy demands to stay in, manager removes him. Sometimes it's more of a conversation. They say, look, how do you feel? And he says, well, look at this. And he shows them this blister, and they go, we got
to
get you out.
He said Lilly didn't want him to go out for the 8th, and he said, when you have a blister, and he said, not me, because I can fight through it, and he's had blister issues, and he has pitched well. But he said, a lot of guys, when you have a blister, you don't even know it, but it changes the pressure you put on the ball, and you're throwing different stuff. So he said, usually managers, pitching coaches will go to somebody else based on that. Now, he said, I was fine. but it really started to get bad. And he also said it was still bleeding when he got back to the hotel. So,
my day, we didn't throw baseballs. We threw chunks of meteors. That's what we had to play with.
They weren't even round. Oh, they were just jagged.
Plus, you never got blisters because you were so poor you didn't have skin.
We would love to have had some skin.
Doug, in my day, we had managed print and network services, and our friends at GFI Digital provide IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department.
Is that right?
Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for you, Doug.
Maybe I'll do just that.
Go to GFIdigital.com.
Wait, so when should I do that?
You like I did that with no script.
Yeah, that's basically
scolding you for not keeping pace with the live read.
I picked up on
Seymour
that.
Seymour almost
bit,
never
yeah.
jumps in unless he feels it's an emergency situation.
I picked up on that.
Also, Reka Vodka is the official vodka of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Skull.
Skull. I think we're saying Skull.
Oh, Skull. I don't know that whole one by heart,
though. I saw Cat pouring a little nip of that into his Red Bull this morning.
I don't drink while I work.
I apologize. I shouldn't have said
never that. Have, never no, will.
Let the cat out of the bag.
What's in your Petro Martyr cup there, big guy?
Oh, it's just a little Arnold Palmer.
Isn't it funny how the old guy who back in my day, yet he has to drink the beverage of choice of the rich.
Yeah. It really
Arnold
is an
Palmer's.
Elitist
yeah.
drink.
Iced tea and lemonade?
Is it yep. is.
You're an elitist. That's the drink of royalty.
You think so?
Hello, I'm Doug Vaughn. I only serve Grey Poupon and Arnold Palmer
right.
at my estate.
Well, I do a sense.
Feel
of
free
royalty,
to drop by.
Oh, would you like a cracker? I have a three variety and all with the smoked Gouda.
Probably, I don't have.
It's probably what you
Gouda.
Serve guests when they come over to your house.
No, we were happy to finally get fire, though, that you could smoke something. For the longest time when I was a kid, we didn't have fire.
Well, you didn't need it because
we didn't know how to harness it.
Back in the day, all you ate was single cell organisms. You don't even
amoebas.
Need to cook
those
that
are best,
they're microscopic.
They're
early
best
sushi.
Raw, yeah.
You can basically breathe those in.
You can eat them and not even. The problem is, it's kind of like sushi. You never get full.
Yeah, you don't really feel full. No. But, you know, whatever came out of the sea and was trying to evolve, that's what we'd eat.
We're getting some mean mugs down here. People are walking by and they go, such a nice, bright hospital. And they say, and an awful radio show. What are they doing here?
I don't blame them, though. I don't blame them.
Yeah, I don't either.
They asked us, they said, do you want to pipe the show through the speakers of the hospital? I said,
please,
yeah.
No.
And then Doug said, no, don't
no.
even think about that.
No.
I think they brighten the kids' day a little bit to hear
I
Uncle
don't
Doug.
Think so. This is not a show built for kids, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Well, we can help kids, though.
Yeah, we're trying to do that today by raising money for Cardinal Glennon. The number 314-781-9700. If you can, give them a call. Donate whatever you feel comfortable doing. Cardinal Glennon is a place that they provide the best, really, service in the world for these young kids who are going through God only knows, and maybe the parents can't afford it, and they don't have to pay here at Cardinal Glennon. It's based on donations, so if you can help, please help.
We're going to be here. The 590 shows will be here through the midday grind. It is the Ryan Kelly Radiothon. I know he has solicited a big donation, and he's going to come on later and tell us a little bit about it. And he's making it easy to donate. Just give the number a call, and they'll take care of it, and also send you a confirmation email as well. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After from the Costa Center here at Cardinal Glennon. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. Tell me if this describes you. You're a man who's worked hard all your life. You have a nice house, a savings, a good retirement. But there's just one problem. Your wife has told you she wants out. She says she wants a divorce. Suddenly, everything you've worked so hard for is on the table. You need a partner you can count on. Consider Cordell & Cordell.
Contact Cordell & Cordell online at cordellcordell.com. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.